Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to our Glamour webinar, Dissipation of Glamour webinar number 43. It's good to see you all gathered. I was a little delayed today. My computer insisted on updating just when I wanted to get into get into preparation for this program. But anyway, I guess I'm all updated now. And we are working on this great glamour of hatred, which is very focal. It's akin to the glamour of separateness or separativeness. If anything, it has maybe even more of an emotional charge to it. So we'll do that a little bit. And I have some readings. I have some readings that I think would be good to go over on hatred. And so, you know, we're also working on the technique of indifference. But for the moment, I think I'm going to concentrate on this. I mean, things are so tense on the world stage, and we have the nuclear threat going on constantly, and we have animosity operating between immature leaders. So we have to really work on neutralizing this this glamour. It's, you know, it's not like this group is going to do that, but it's going to help. That's the point. So let's just have a little alignment here. And I just want to see who all is here. Okay, well, I certainly welcome you all. And, yeah, welcome to you. And if, you know, if you want to speak, you know, when we get into that part of it, you will, you know, just raise your hand and you can write something if you wish or speak whichever way it goes. Tuya and I are up here in the far, far north. We're north of the Arctic Circle by a couple of degrees, and we're bringing a, we brought some members of the Blue Rose Sisterhood up here, and we're taking in the magic of Lapland. Of course, the technology up here, well, it's pretty good, but one has to get used to it. So, we are present and ready to move ahead. All right, so let's just have a moment where we gather together on the, as it were, on the fourth subplane of the mental plane, but that fourth plane being illumined by the first example of the higher self here, which is the egoic lotus, or the causal body. There are a number of higher selves, of course, and this is the first one we encounter, but then there's a spiritual triad, of course, and the monad, and beyond, of course. So let's just all of us seek to tune in with the golden light of the soul. And feel our personality, and in a way the entire group personality, infused by this group conscious organism, the group soul, wherever we are, apparently in illusory time and space, this, the presence of light and of love and of sacrificial will pours into us, into our personality mechanism. Creating the illumined mind, which we can visualize, and the tranquil, limpid, but sensitive and deglamorized astral nature. And the vitalized, animated anima, the soul, animated etheric body, and we are presenting ourselves as a group to work with clear mind. Soul-inspired, clear mind to understand the origins of hatred, what it does to human living, what it does on the astral plane, and how to dissipate that kind of nefarious tendency, which is working against the direction that the hierarchy seeks humanity to go. I'm remembering the Dalai Lama, you know, he was a very frank person. He was kind of evaluating various sins and liabilities and whether he had them or not, and it came to hatred, and he said, no, not much, no. You know, it was just a very clear evaluation from a high soul who's used to taking an assessment of himself. You know, self-knowledge becomes so important. So we'll sound an om, affirming our solidarity with each other and our willingness to and readiness to work with each other as one instrument to affect the astral plane, especially. But of course, the whole three-headed dog, you know, it's illusion, glamour, and Maya. It shows up in the labors of Hercules a number of times, and it has to be killed in a certain sense. Of course, we don't kill out the personality, we train it and we use it, but those tendencies have to be eliminated. So we'll sound the Om, we'll use a second ray note, note G, and affirm our solidarity with each other. Om. Now, what I wanted to do this time is we've got something prepared here, and if there are, you know, Finnish people in the group, I'll try to make it visible so you can read along in Finnish if that is, you know, helpful to you. Right. So you'll see the Finnish right under here, and Tuija and I got together some selections about hatred, and these are useful when we're thinking about what it does and what this glamour really is. So here you see in the red stars you have the English, and right under it, if it's useful to you, you have the Finnish. So this is one of the sutras from the Light of the Soul. You know, it's a great book, and it's a book that, along with several others, that the Tibetan said should be in the possession of every serious disciple. You know, the Bhagavad Gita and the Viveka Kudamani, which is called the crest jewel of discrimination, and the New Testament, and then, of course, the Light of the Soul. I think that includes the ones, at least that I'm remembering at the moment. So this sutra is the reverse of the preceding one. The true yogi neither feels aversion or desire. You know, this is the attraction repulsion, especially to the things of the lower three worlds, which reaction the Buddha sought to deal with and eliminate. If we hate the things of the lower three worlds, if we love the things of the lower three worlds and desire them, we're attaching ourselves either by desire or hatred. So he is balanced between the pairs of opposites. This is the true yogi, and the pairs of opposites generally, as we consider them, are on the vertical level, soul and personality. There are, of course, you know, there are horizontal pairs of opposites as well, and they're neither, one is neither better than the other, but when you're dealing with the vertical pairs of opposites, there's always an ascent. The soul is more complete than the personality. The monad is more complete than the soul, and on it goes. So he is balanced between the pairs of opposites. Hate causes separation, whereas love reveals the unity underlying all forms. That's really an important statement somehow. Love reveals the unity underlying all forms. Hate is the result of concentration upon form and a forgetfulness of that which every form, in more or less degree, reveals. I mean, we're all externalizations of the one infinite being, and all forms hide the light, as DK says in his definition of harmlessness. Hate is a feeling, notice here, a feeling of repulsion, and leads to a withdrawal of the man from the object hated. Hate is the reverse of brotherhood. Well, that's a great monadic state of identification, toward which we all strive, and at the end of the Aquarian Age, it will be the era of brotherhood for the last 720 years. So obviously, that's what we're trying to move into and away from this repulsion. Hate is the reverse of brotherhood, and therefore is the breaking of one of the basic laws of the solar system. Our great love wisdom second ray solar system, at this time the fifth solar system and the second major system, we're breaking the law if we hate. Hate negates unity, causes barriers to be built, and produces those causes which lead to crystallization, destruction, and death. Wherever there's crystallization, that which is crystallized is ripe for shattering, destruction, and death. It is energy used to repudiate instead of to synthesize, and therefore runs counter to the law of evolution. Those are powerful words. And think about it, because if you have thoughts or questions about this, we're going to take them up before we do our meditation. Now let's go on to the next. Let's see. Maybe, oh, almost. Almost. Maybe I'll just make this a tiny bit smaller, and then we'll succeed in showing the English and the Finnish at the same time. Hate is really the result of a sense of personality, identification as a personality, thinking you're nothing else really, and of ignorance plus misapplied desire. I mean, if we really knew who we were, we would know it's all one unified thing. We'd even know it's all one thing, the one. But ignorance prevents that, and we just identify with our personality nature, which we want to exalt at the expense of others. It is almost the culmination of the other three. It was a sense of personality and of extreme ignorance, coupled with desire for personal gain. Let's look at those. A sense of personality and an extreme ignorance, coupled with the desire for personal gain, which produced hatred of Abel in the heart of Cain and caused the first murder or the destruction of a brother's form. Well, this is maybe somewhat allegorical. I think if we were listening, to Philip Lindsay with his Hidden History of Humanity, we would discover that the people like Noah and all of that, these are figures that represent large groups of people. And it's not just one person here killing another, it's a group of people killing another group, I believe, as the allegory would reveal if carefully analyzed in the light of history. But anyway, hatred usually goes with murder, and murder is the deprivation of the form of another, and it carries a heavy karmic price. Obviously, you cannot get rid of the soul of another. There's no way to murder the, well, especially the monad. You can't really touch the essence of any being, but you can eliminate the form. This should be carefully considered, for hate, in some degree, aversion to some extent. Now, look at that. Is present in every human heart. That's quite a statement. We have to think, examine ourselves. And we may fall into that kind of extreme repulsion based on ignorance and lack of identification of soul to soul. Only, however, when it is entirely overcome by love or the sense of unity, will death, danger, and fear pass out of the ken of the human family? Well, we're reminded of the biblical phrase, adage, perfect love casteth out all fear. Okay, these are really, powerful, and when we're thinking about what hatred does and how to eliminate it, only when it is entirely overcome by love. Or the sense of unity. Love and the sense of unity will danger, death, danger, and fear pass out of the ken. The ken is the consciousness of the human family. So love is an amazing thing, and who can say they really understand it? I mean, what is the love of a seventh degree initiate like the Christ compared to what we call love? Now, let's see. Again, I'm going to have to make this smaller if I'm going to get the English and the Finnish together. So just bear with me for a minute. This is a longer paragraph, sorry to say. But then maybe I hope I don't make it too small. But I'm going to make it somewhat small in order to hopefully, So hopefully that does the trick, and the Finnish people will be able to read along. Okay, now this is really interesting. It's kind of a sort of a Saint Francis sutra, you might say. In the presence of him who has perfected harmlessness, all enmity ceases. This sutra demonstrates to us the working out of a great law. In Book 4, Sutra 17, Patanjali tells us that the perception of a characteristic, of a quality, and of an objective form is dependent upon the fact that in the perceiver, similar characteristics, qualities, and objective capacity are to be found. Well, you know, this is like the idea of projection, where we are observing these characteristics, some of them quite negative qualities. It's only because we have them in ourselves, even if not to the same degree as the one who is observed having them. So this similarity is the basis of perception. The same truth is hinted at in the first epistle of St. John, where the words are found, quote, "We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The Christ nature in us, as it emerges, will allow us to see the Christ. And I think, you know, many people in the esoteric field have taken the first or second initiation relatively recently, during the time that the Christ was the initiator. So we have seen the Christ, let us say, those who have taken those degrees. And not that it is easily remembered, because the Tibetan says no true image of the Christ has yet been really produced. So you have to inscribe that image on your heart, and there is where you'll find it. Only that can be contacted which is already present or partially present in the perceiver's consciousness. Well, that's okay, there we go. Only that can be contacted which is already present or partially present. See, the question of degree is there in the perceiver's consciousness. If enmity and hatred are therefore to be found by the perceiver, it is because in him the seed of enmity and hatred are present. When they are absent, naught but unity and harmony exists. That's an amazing thing, because it kind of suggests the way the masters perceive us, seeing the most positive aspects. And I have a feeling, you know, that when we see the most positive aspects in another, we help to banish the negativity which exists in that other. Anyway, it's worth a try. It's worth some experimentation, I would say. So when they are absent in us, and we are perceiving, naught but unity and harmony exists. And we're seeing the soul nature of the other individual. This is the first stage of universal love. Practical endeavor on the part of the aspirant to be at one with all things. Oh, it's so beautiful, you know. Of course, universal love, it's in some ways it's a Aquarian trait, the sign of universality, but then there's this Piscean quality as well. Sometimes Aquarius and Pisces, you can look at them as being the same, overlapping signs. And interestingly enough, the Christ is, during the age of Pisces Aquarius, is staying with us for 5,000 years, where the normal duration of the Bodhisattva's term of service is 2,500 years. So universal love is found in both of these signs. So when this is in us, to be at one with all beings, you know, we got to practice that. It's so easy to forget it, to drop it, to just get on with our normal business and forget that entirely. And we forget it at our spiritual peril. He begins with himself and sees to it that the seeds of harmfulness in his own nature are eradicated. That's a big job. We have to do our personal work, as Asajjoli is said to have said on his deathbed, make sure they do their personal work. He deals, therefore, with the cause which produces enmity towards him and others. The natural result is that he is at peace and others are at peace with him. This is sort of the St. Francis statement here. In his presence, even wild beasts are rendered impotent, and this by the condition of the mind state of the aspirant or yogin. Some beautiful thoughts there. And I think that, I'm going to save the rest of this. And we've got enough to think about there, okay? So let's, the next time we do this, now as I say, Tuya and I are up in the north, and sometimes our schedule is a little bit variable. So, whereas we cannot do a broadcast tomorrow in the Ask programs, maybe Sunday night for the attraction of money for hierarchical purposes, maybe we can do that, try that. End of readings on hatred. And so with number 43, number 43, and today is the 11th of August, 2017. Now, hopefully I'm able to recapture this and remember that. I hope Brett or BL or Joe will help me remember what I have to remember here. And then the next time we will begin here, beginning, EG, of readings on hatred, number 44. And that should be in about a week. And right now we're having to stick to the evening time, such as our schedule up here. We're not alternating, okay? So whatever we do at the moment will be in the evening. All right. So these are very powerful thoughts, I believe. I think you'll find them powerful. And do we have anything we want to ask, think, say, comment about this intense repulsion that we call hatred and by which we bind ourselves to others? It's only with this kind of Libran harmlessness that we're able to escape via the middle channel without binding ourselves to the form of others. That leads us quite high into our spiritual nature. The spiritual triad is a very detached condition of consciousness, and it's very much connected with Libra, as is the higher will, the spiritual will. So we can excessive love of the form and excessive repulsion of the embodied form is going to put us in prison. So before our meditation begins, does anybody have anything you would like to write or say or anything of that nature? We've got to go slowly, a little bit at a time. The world is filled with hatred at the moment. The nuclear-powered world is filled with hatred and ignorance and egotism and lack of consideration of the whole. So we have a real mess on our hands, and we have to attack this from within, if we possibly can, on that beam of light, which is empowered by the spiritual will and the soul, and which works at eliminating those appearance and the quality and the life and the cause of these destructive glamours. So, anything from anybody that you would like to say or comment upon? And here is, we have something, no audio. Don't know what has happened. I hope you all can hear, because otherwise everybody would have left.
we can hear you.
Very good. Thank you so much. I was taken with the idea of our positive seeing perhaps helping to banish the negatives in another. And recall the saying of the Christ, I will be lifted up and draw men unto me. If I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Perhaps even I will lift up and help others to rise or raise their vibration. That would also work here. A great reminder. Thanks. I think, Suzanne, I think it's very true. And very moving In the musical theater, or even in the novel preceding it, you know, we have the story of Don Quixote and the man of La, as the man of La Mancha in the musical. Very moving, and of course, you know, we had this prostitute Aldonza, but he being absolutely over the top on the sixth ray, he was mistaking everything for its more positive manifestation. Maybe he mistook a windmill for a dragon, I don't know. Anyway, he exaggerated everything, and he exaggerated her status and saw her as Dulcinea, as one who was utterly pure, when in fact in her apparently real life she was utterly degraded. And that's what happened. She became that. She became what he saw in her. So I think this is, you know, it's really worth a try. It's so easy to be critical. You know, I've been a critical person in my life, and you know, when you have a lot of third ray, you can, it's critical, and you can kind of see the fault. But you know, the old saying is, each one sees and knows the villainy of each, and yet there is, with that great revelation, no turning back, no spurning of each other, no shakiness upon the road. The road goes forward into day. So, you know, we can see the fault, but then so what? We see the fault and we try to emphasize the good. And I have the sense, I'm working on it myself all the time, I have the sense that it really does help to expel the evil in another, as Alice Bailey says, through the power of substitution. She says the best way to get rid of something is to replace it. Well, you replace it with the good. So let's work on that, and let's see if in difficult situations, when we are assailed and criticized and whatever, whether we can somehow just emphasize the good until the seeds of harmfulness are eliminated, not only in ourselves, but in hopefully in other people as we assist them by seeing what they can become. See? But that requires a lot of sensitivity on our part. Okay, so thank you. Thank you for that. Anybody else wish to speak or make a comment? We're looking at the effects of this great glamour of hatred, you know, and what it does. You know, it works against the law of the solar system. That's an amazing thought. We've got a second sacred solar system here, which is based on unity and love, and hatred is that old critical divisive thing, which is causing a lot of misery and which works against unitive vision and cooperation and progress. Works against all those things. But it's tough because we see people really behaving in a crazy way, so we think, and it's tough not to reject the way they do behave. Okay, so let's see. Rose, you have a, what is it? You're self-muted, so if you want to speak, you have to unmute yourself. There you go. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I'm online. I'm doing the webinar on my cell phone, so it's,
Okay,
I
good.
guess it's
Yeah, you can speak.
okay. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep, you bet.
Okay. Wait, don't start. I was wanting to say that the with humanity, where they have the hatred and the likes and the dislikes, is because they aren't aware of the difference between form and spirit. And when you lose that awareness of what reality really is, and you think just the three worlds is all that's real, you end up with a lot of these dualities and pairs of opposites. When you understand the real reality, all of this becomes so trivial. It really takes its proper place and proportion, and then that needed detachment is so much easier to achieve.
I think that's very correct. You know, so many people either aren't there yet or they've forgotten it, and it's a sense of values, you know. When we're well, when we're still working in the Hall of Ignorance, you know, the first three petals of the egoic lotus, this is all we see. The lower 18 subplanes, that's it. And then the higher of the pairs of opposites comes into focus, and then we begin, maybe after a while, to value that more highly and take this great desire away from the 18 subplanes. That's what the Tibetan, rather the Buddha, tried to help us do to solve this problem of desire for the lower worlds as if they were the only thing that existed. So that's where education comes in, you know. We've got to help people see through meditation and study and whatever service that there's a whole lot more to life than they are presently seeing, and the higher values do not rest with the lower 18 subplanes. It's a big educational job, and yeah, so that's what we've got to do. I agree that it's all part of ignorance. It's what people see or don't see. We've got to help the vision become bigger and clearer. Yeah. Okay, well, we're on our way and we're trying. So thank you, Rose, for your thought there. Any other thoughts or sharing that you'd like to offer at this time before we get into our meditation? You know, in some ways, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's obvious in a way. You know, it's just obvious the ignorance involved, and that's what Rose was pointing out, the ignorance of the higher worlds and the tendency to value only what you're aware of. And we have to help people be aware of more, and of course, in ourselves, we have to find a way to be really aware, soul aware, you know. We can talk, but soul awareness, even in the difficult moments, it's easy to forget, you know. So we've got to remain continuity of soul awareness, we might say. That's an aspect of continuity of consciousness, you might say. Continuity of soul consciousness. And, you know, the 18 lower subplanes, well, we've got to make them right. But that's not where our major interest lies. There's much more to life than meets the eye in the physical sense. Okay. Well, it looks like okay. Looks like we would then be ready to have our meditation. And you know, to root out, if we can, the seeds of hatred in ourselves. I mean, I find them. I get, you know, so incensed by the way that some people are treated, and people in government and so forth, trying to undo the good that has been done by more generous people than themselves, you know, trying to take humanity backwards. That really presses my buttons, and you know, I get a little bit militant and Martian about that. But there's got to be, I think, you know, well, Tuya taught me something here about blessing, and maybe Tuya, you want to say something about it. When you bless somebody, it's not that you are promoting their personality success. If their personality is going in a different way, you're working with their soul. You're helping to activate their soul, and the soul itself may eliminate some of these undesirable behaviors. It's not like you're promoting everything they do. It's emphasizing the spiritual plan within a person, so within the soul of a person, in such a way that the activated soul itself may cause a great conflict in the nature of that individual, and thereby help to eliminate what is in the way of soul expression. So blessing others is not a benign thing, like, oh, anything you want is fine, and bless you and keep doing everything you're doing. When you really bless the soul of another, or the spiritual nature of another, you may be helping to cause a tremendous conflict within that person's psyche, but it'll all work out for the good. And that's the key. So I was I always comfort myself by that thought. I don't want to promote the negative in people, but I want to be positive about them. So to be positive about the soul is really does create quite a battle, possibly. Okay, so go ahead, Tuya. You go ahead.
Do you hear me? I don't have this good headphone.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yes. Okay, good. So anyway, about the blessing, it's interesting when you think about the higher deities, that they are always expressed in the form of a blessing, that they are blessing the lower world. And I don't know how many times DK was ending his letters to his disciples, "My blessing rests upon you." So there is this something about the blessing which seems very, what would I say, common, or something that we are not thinking about, but yet we are never talking about really what the blessing is. And I think it is a great power to realize that it is different than sending love. It is about love as well. It's about healing as well. There are many aspects of blessing, but it is something what the higher ones are constantly able to express, or they are in constant blessing state. I think it's a good way for us to really think about and contemplate what is blessing.
And the Buddha too, isn't he?
Because it's so great power, right? All of these great deities, if you study about the iconography in different traditions, these great ones or the holy ones, they bless constantly.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the various. Ritu, you have to turn off your. You have to self-mute there for a minute. So, yeah. Okay. It's because we're more or less in the same room, so we pick up on each other's computers. The Buddha is constantly offering various mudras of blessing. And basically, it's all about seeing the good and strengthening the good and strengthening the higher aspect of a person's nature. And if we could learn to see that way, I mean, instead of just emphasizing the evil in others, which obviously we're going to see, just, we are seen, we're going to see, everybody sees, each one sees and knows the villainy of each. There's just a whole lot more to it. And it's a skill, it's a real skill to learn how to see the soul and to emphasize that. And it's not easy. I don't think it's easy. And I think it requires the first power found on the higher mental plane, the third subplane, spiritual discernment. I think you've got to be able to discern the soul amidst all the rest of the stuff that you might otherwise see. So anyway, that's, I think, important to keep in mind. And right, yes, yes, Brett, yes. Oh, there's Jan, yes. Is that correct?
We have a question from Jan, another couple from John.
Okay. Yes, I see. Aha, I see. Okay. Yes, thank you, Brett. Anyway, Michael, what are your insights for this seeming growing wave of hatred that seems to be escalating at the current time? What is the creating the right conditions for this? Well, I think that's what Christ said. I come to bring not peace, but the sword. The sword of discrimination. And, before the first initiation of humanity, two planets are very active, just the way they are in the initiation of a human being, the first initiation. It's going to be Pluto and Vulcan, and those are no-nonsense planets. And Pluto especially is going to drag to the surface for cleansing and for review and for rejection. All of that sediment, all that unredeemed stuff that's in the aura of people and large groups of people. It's part of the cleansing that has to occur. You've got to see it. You know, in so many of us, psychology will tell us we just don't see the deep, unprocessed sediment, you know, the hatreds, the kind of negativity resting, you might say, symbolically at least, in the bottom of our aura. And that's why it's all going to rise up, you know, and it's like the lower aspects of the astral plane are going to come right in front of our view in the book of Revelation. It's almost like they really precipitate physically. But let's just say that we're not going to escape seeing the worst, and no true disciple can escape seeing the evil within himself and, of course, in others. So I think it's a planetary thing that precedes the first initiation. This is my guess, and I think it'll get more intense before it is alleviated. So, you know, hang on and feed out the positivity. But when you're putting out the positivity, remember, it will invoke the cleansing. It will draw that cleansing forth. And then, yeah, Jan, thanks for that thought and question. And from John, how do you practice sending love into an illusory state when in interaction with others who may not be at the level to transcend the higher vibration of love? Or is it within each subplane, within its power of love emitted? Is it within each subplane, within its power of love emitted? Of course, R and I, what, Master R? R and I discussed that the disciple will know at what level to hold attention. Well, look, you know, I don't get into it too technically, to tell you the truth. You got to use the creative imagination, and you have to attempt to see the light and see the love and even the sacrificial will within people. You just attempt to see it, and you work from your soul, if you can, or from your soul-infused personality, if you can, and send it to the soul through the imagination of another. Send it to the soul of another through the use of imagination. I wouldn't get too technical here, John. I mean, we could, you know, look at what particular vibration and city and power are involved and all that, but I just think we can do a whole lot of good by seeing others literally in a positive light, and try to see through what the personality presents. I call the personality the customary self, and beyond and within is something very beautiful. It's been, in most cases anyway, it's been harvested from thousands of lives of endeavor and success and pain and failure and all the rest. And we try to tune in on our own generosity, our own love, and through that love and through the light of the soul, we see that in another. Now, maybe if you were a master or I were a master, we'd get really technical about it and, you know exactly what vibration we're looking at. But I think that if we try to do too much of that, you know, we may bury ourselves in the technicality. So I'm just telling you how I would look at it. Higher lovers are within the subplane emitted. Of course, R and I discussed that holding attention. Isolated unity and holding the presence with someone does transmute. Yeah. Well, you know, and the fullness of isolated unity, it's more a fifth degree thing, but, you know, as we are around the area of the second initiation, say, and so many of DK's disciples had the second initiation at least in sight, you might say. Even, you know, if it wasn't going to be in this life, it could be in the next life, or the next life, shortly. There's such a transmutation of the astral body through the power of Venus, Jupiter, Neptune, you know, a tranquilizing of the astral body and a refinement of the astral body that we can look into other people and see the love. So I would tune in on that particularly. And I think then we'd succeed. You know, this power of repulsion, it's not just the law of attraction. It's a law of attraction and repulsion. And true attraction does create a repulsion against that to which you are not attracted. It causes a kind of separation. But later, through the power of identification, there's a re-inclusion of even some very negative things, but you re-include on a higher level, seeing where these negative things came from and realizing that they are the illusory factors, but something behind them, there's something behind them you can identify with. Okay, so those are my thoughts, at least on that. You know, everybody will have their own thoughts, right? And presence with somebody does transmute. I agree with you very much there. Presence with someone does transmute, and you have to be in your own presence. You know, what is this thing that is permanent within you? You know, what is this beingness within you? That's the presence. And if we just talk about it, that's one thing. If we begin to really feel it and experience it, you know, how by whatever means you're going to use, that's another thing. So make sure that it's real to you, you know, beyond words, real to you, and then it will become a transmutative power for others. Anyway, you know, my thoughts on that. And here's Laura with some thoughts. First, I'd like to say that I find this webinar very helpful for many reasons. Thank you. I think that we could apply the teaching imparted today to situations where serious breaks in the law occur, but also in the case of less severe cases, which are probably more common in our daily lives. It's those little things and those little moments of friction that are unnecessary. I've recently seen a post on Facebook from a religious friend of my mother who said, "Don't worry about what you can't understand in the Bible. Concern yourself with what you do understand. And you don't, with what you do understand and you don't respect." Today, during this webinar, I was thinking that I could apply this kind of thinking to other situations. For example, I shouldn't worry about people I find in my daily life who don't respect basic values. And I don't mean people who seriously break the law of love, but the kind of people who are good in general but have their faults and can sometimes become irritating. I guess, boy, that's kind of all of us, isn't it? Well, maybe. If I concentrate on the fact that I do that too, sometimes, yeah, to other people, and I work on myself, I would find the source of irritation caused by others disappears. I believe there's a lot of correctness in what you say here, Laura. I could find that it bothers me less, that I find new ways of dealing with it, or maybe even discover that the behavior of the person changes and improves all of a sudden. I think we really do have to take care of the personal formula. It could be only a personal perception, but it would still be a valid change. And thanks for the webinars and broadcasts. Yeah. Okay. And yes, a good thought. You know, look, we have to experiment with this, don't we? You know, we are supposed to be light bearers. We're supposed to carry the light. And if we have always a critical attitude, I know in my life, I've just sometimes really seen the fault, and boy, I've gone after it. But, you know, there's a better way for the disciple becoming the initiate to operate. I mean, you know, look, sometimes if you're in World War II and the enemy threatens humanity entirely, you've just got to use absolutely first-rate methods, you know. You, like you said, don't send love to the Nazi leaders. It's just an energy, and they're going to use it for their purposes. But, you know, under normal circumstances where people are tending towards the good, even if they're not very skillful getting there, we can use these methods of improving our own condition of harmlessness, and then actually finding the good which we evoke in others. So by whatever means you may attempt, it's worth the experiment. So thank you, Laura, for those thoughts. And John acknowledging, yes. Right, okay. Are we good then? For the moment? Tuya has her hand up. Good, very good. Hold on. I've got a... There we go. Okay. Oh, no, you don't, dear? Okay, it was just a mistake. Okay. All right. So, let's move into our meditation. And... Here we go. And, you know, as I said last time, on coming back from my illness, I'm taking this protective formula pretty seriously. So when you do this, remember, you're working in the most powerful vehicle that you have, you know, or at least the most powerful plane in the three lower worlds, and you're working in the area where the Black Lodge and the negative forces are working primarily, because humanity itself is so, in general, emotionally polarized. So, you know, we're playing with a kind of fire here, and we have to take it seriously. Not that we should be afraid, but we have to take seriously that we really do work in the light, and we stay there, and we don't take the need for protection lightly. If DK is recommending it, we have to think, okay, this is necessary. So here we go. So there are some, almost 40 of us here today, and we're not going to name all our names right now, but we'll think of ourselves together. And let's see. Yeah, I mean, you can see yourself. You can, who's there? Quite a few of us. And we hold each other in the light. Realizing that we're all one unit, one instrument at this point, working together in the light and love and the under the spiritual will of hierarchy to do some really important cleansing work in relation to the astral plane. Of course, we've got to work with Maya and we've got to work with illusion. We're doing all that too, but it's the astral plane right now where the major trouble lies and where the major attack is occurring. And now the protective formula, and you can, you know, say this out loud where you are as we make, you know, the sign of the cross with the two eyes. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work. And from that point, I never move. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work. And from that point, I never move. So, no matter what we encounter, we're always in the light and we imagine this. You know, the imagination is very important in this kind of work. Creative imagination guided by purpose. Now, the three preparatory stages. So we have two types of light, which are of the personality, the light of matter. Let's consider it to be particularly the etheric physical light and the light of the lower mind. So we'll imaginatively focus on those two. And raise them up, the light of matter, into the light of mind, and fuse and blend imaginatively the light of matter and the light of mind. And that blending is occurring on the, particularly the fourth sublevel of the mental plane. The vitality of the light of matter and the clarity of the light of mind. Then we meditate on soul contact. And the recognition of soul light, again using the imagination. Till we get the feeling or the sense of or the contact with the light of the soul, and we bring it down imaginatively and fuse on the mental plane the two lesser lights with soul light, and we imagine this happening, the descent of soul light fusing with the light of matter, the light of mind, three in one. We have a vitalized, discriminating, discerning, pervading, unitary light made of three. Now, we will say together, followed by three ohms, this little mantra. The light is one, and in that light shall we see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. It's almost as if the light of the intuition, the light of day of the Buddhic plane, is going to be revealed through the power, revelatory power, of the three lights made as one. There will be a great clarification. So, we're going to be working with dissipating light and revelatory light. Interesting, you know, Scorpio, the sign in which the glamour is attacked, and Scorpio ruling the Buddhic plane, and the light of Scorpio being the light of day. Beyond illusion, glamour, and Maya. Then, in the formula, we're going to say together, and while we say, we visualize a great searchlight being turned on. It is visualized as a group light turned upon the astral plane. So let's all imaginatively see our intense triple light beaming forth into that dark and misty, swirling, distorting world, as it presently is, the astral plane. Lots of work to be done there. And then let us say together, radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning, and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. And we're going to invoke the spiritual will, its origin, well, you know, very high origin, but let us say from the monad to the atmic plane, the home of spiritual will, through the jewel in the lotus, through the will synthesis petal, and through the sacrifice petals of the mental plane, We invoke this power of the spiritual will, and we strengthen our beam. Our beam is the instrument of dissipation, and we say together, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. So the beam is empowered by the spiritual will, the luminous, dissipating beam. The Ajna Center is involved. The top of the head is involved. And the beam is sustained by the will of all members, meditating members. And now we go on to this work. It's going to be the glamour of hatred. We're going to name that glamour and work. And then we'll have 5 minutes of silence in which the work proceeds. And so these three words of power are uttered while we sustain and visualize the dissipating beam. Power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of hatred. The power of our united light negates the quality of the glamour of hatred from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour. So work with these three aspects of the word of power as we see the light penetrating into the glamour and producing its weakening and its dissipation. And we will have our 5 minutes of silence as we, with intensity of purpose, see the work proceeding. So here we go, 5 minutes working with this word of power. We have to have the confidence that our will-inspired beam of light goes forth, does its work, banishing the glamour of hatred from the astral plane, making sure that this quality does not affect human beings who are impervious to it, and that basically the vitality which energizes it is vitiated, withdrawn, and the forms of energy and force which embody this hatred fall down and no longer support and sustain this inimical force preventing the divine plan from rightly manifesting. And if you, you know, if you find yourself during the week reaching out on the beam towards the astral plane, take along the presence of your group brothers and sisters, take it along, and their strength and their presence as you banish hatred on the astral plane, and of course in your own life, if you detect it, we're not clear yet, if you detect where it happens, banish it and bring in the love of the essence. And so we withdraw now our beam, our searchlight, back onto the mental plane. Knowing that we're getting stronger at doing this, and we're playing our little part in helping to undermine, dissipate, dispel, devitalize those factors which prevent the good from occurring. So we will then sound the Om three times, realizing the work which has been done, and rendering glamour increasingly ineffective on the physical, astral, and even the mental plane. So, friends, we will continue with our service along these lines. Now, Tuya and I are trying to regain our rhythm here, you know, the loss of that rhythm, my illness, sorry about that, but I learned a few things, and I learned we had better love, in the true sense of the word. So, we won't be with you tomorrow for the Soul of Nations. But we will attempt, we'll let you know if it's not possible, to do the attracting money for hierarchical purposes on Sunday night, at least Sunday night GMT. So it's 5 p.m. GMT, mostly when we're up here in the far north. It's the night presentations that work for us, and we'll notify you if it's otherwise. We'll be regaining our rhythm on this. You know, as well as we can and as shortly as we can. And you know, Olivia, Tuya, and I, we wish you all well in the ongoing difficult task of the dissipation of glamour, a world problem.
Michael?
Yes, yes. Joe, is it? Yes?
Yes. I put a note in the chat box.
Yeah.
Everyone will have to re-register. We didn't have next Friday's date into the sequence, so
okay.
We have to create a new one, and we'll send that out to everyone in our usual manner using Constant Contact.
Okay, great, Joe. Thanks very much. I think it said up until July, and now we're obviously going beyond July and so forth. So great, we'll send that out, and I'll send that out to people who are not necessarily on the Constant Contact list of the Moria Federation, but I would really recommend that you get on that list, because then you'll be aware of everything we do in connection with the Moria Federation and all of our broadcasts and full moons and pre-full moons and webinars and so forth. You know, it's the best way to stay in touch. So thanks, Joe, for reminding of that. Okay, thank you very much. All right, friends, so farewell and many blessings, and let's just keep working at bringing in the light and, from the occult point of view, helping to lift the miasma and the fog which presently are blinding humanity and making us subject to ignorance instead of working in the light. Okay, many blessings, and we'll see you before long. All the best. Okay.